On Thursday, Fresno State alumna Marisol Baca was named Fresno's fourth poet laureate. She is the first woman to hold the title. Baca is an English instructor at Fresno City College and the co-founder of the Women Writers of Color Central Valley Collective. Her debut book, Tremor, published last year, won the Three Mile Harbor Press First Book Prize. FM89's Laura Satsui spoke to Baca about what she wants to accomplish during her two-year tenure as the city's literary ambassador.
So Marisol, you grew up partially in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and partially in Fresno, and it was in some of your elementary school classes here that you wrote some of your first poems. Did you know or even consider in grade school that you wanted to be a writer or a poet?
No, I didn't know at that time in my life that I wanted to be a poet, but I recognized very early on, probably around second and third grade, that I always wanted to write and to imagine and to create. And it was in third grade that I had an instructor invite a poet from Fresno, a Fresno poet, Jean Jansen, to come and do a talk about poetry. And she did a little lesson, and I wrote a poem. It was my first poem. And after that, I was hooked. I always wanted to write, and I kept writing since the very beginning. Since third grade on, I was probably already writing little small lyrics or poems or songs, but it was around that time, third and fourth grade, that I really developed a love for language and for poetry writing. And I wrote that little poem about a butterfly.
Do you remember the poem?
I remember a little bit of it, and it went, the butterfly is so beautiful to me, but he is so wrinkly. His colors are the colors of my dreams, the reds, the blues, and even the greens. So I was already interested in rhyming and thinking about poetry in its very basic sense as well. But it was a pretty successful poem even for that age.
Yeah, that's kind of wonderful. It's like you can really compare your changing style from third grade even to now. And which leads me to my next question. I mean, where do you feel like the influence in your poetry even comes from? Is it something you've just made yourself? I mean, when I think of rhyming, I think of kind of like Dr. Seuss and those sorts of things. But maybe, I don't know, or is it Fresno poets that have really influenced your poetry even today?
I think it's all of the above. I definitely had family that was interested. I was very lucky to grow up with a family that was interested in literature. And I remember reading when I got a little bit older, but reading some Federico Garcia Lorca in English and in Spanish, and my grandfather would read parts of that to me. I didn't understand the concepts that were in that poem, but I understood a love of repetition and a love of language even back then. And then obviously growing up pretty much primarily living in Fresno up until I was a young adult, I was influenced by a ton of amazing writers, Omar Salinas, Juan Felipe Herrera, Philip Levine. I went to Fresno State, and I had amazing writers that would come and visit Fresno State, but also faculty at Fresno State that was really influential for me.
Wow. And so even now, you are now a teacher as well for college kids or college adults. And so you teach writing at Fresno City College, and you co-founded the Women Writers of Color Central Valley Collective. For those who aren't familiar, can you explain what the collective is?
Right. And to explain it, I think a really good way to start to is to say that with those influences, I was at an age when I was younger, about 18, 19 years old. I was reading Lorna D. Cervantes. I was reading Gloria Anza. I was reading a lot of women writers that I identified with and could see myself in their writing, Carmen Tafoya, but I didn't see a lot of that in Fresno, especially women of color. And I started to ask myself, where are the women writers of color in the Central Valley? And how, if there are women that can come together, how can I support them and work with them, and how can they support me and create a sense of community that I felt was maybe it wasn't lacking, but could be strengthened, just like everything else, right? So I talked to a few of my good friends, all writers, and we came up with this idea that why don't we have a meeting once in a while? Why don't we break bread and eat and share our stories and share our struggles as being writers and focus on women and especially women of color? And that grew into the collective, which is Women Writers of Color, mostly a big giant dinner, pachanga, a big giant dinner where we all ate together, and there was a lot of us, and we talked about what we wanted to see, and that was a big part of it. And after that, monthly meetings where we discuss how to write a cover letter for sending our work out or submitting our work, and all of those kinds of things. From that to creating workshops for each other and to talk about our writing. So it turned into a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have taken parts of that and added to it. A number of different people that have been a part of Women Writers of Color. Women Writers of Color. Lots of W's.
It's okay. And we should point out that, so you're the fourth poet laureate for the city of Fresno, but you were the first female poet laureate. And so I guess you really touched on this. You started the collective or co-founded the collective to try and bring more women to light or bring them into the fold and say, hey, we can support each other. And so then I wonder, maybe you've already answered this a little bit, but do you notice a lot of female poets and women of color poets in the poetry and writing scene, like throughout all of your studies? You went to college in New York. I mean, was it different there? Or everywhere you've been, have you felt like it's just women female voices have not been as elevated as men's?
I don't think so. I think that one of the reasons why I chose to go to Cornell University was because Elena Viramontes, which is a fiction writer, an amazing fiction writer, prose writer. And I decided to go to Cornell. One of the reasons I decided to go to Cornell was because I wanted to work with her, because there were not many women of color that were full time in the creative writing department. So I really felt it was necessary for my growth as a writer to have a mentor that worked with me in that way. And so I do notice it, but I think especially notice it in that when I came back to Fresno, there was an explosion of women writers, fiction, nonfiction, all creative writing and poetry. There's an explosion and so many talented voices. And so I feel like something has happened where we are starting to become recognized. And being the first woman is an incredible honor, and I think very timely. And I'm happy to fill that role. I'm excited to fill that role. But we're going to see many more voices, many more poets that are in the Valley that are exceptional writers that are going to fill that role as well after me.
You've brought some poetry to read for us. Can we get into that? What would you like to read?
Yes, I think that I'll read a poem that is called Spiral, and it's a poem that's about three sisters, and it's also a poem about these spirals that show up in petroglyphs and all sorts of different ancient sites, and it's a spiral that goes inward and outward, and it also connects for me the idea or the concept of sisterhood. So this is titled Spiral, and it's for my sisters. Spiral. Three spirals bound to one another. Three sisters at the edge of a stone. What is the cosmos but a radial movement outward? To touch the fabric of one, to see the astral projection of the other, to forget for one moment that it is only a projection. Spiral is not spire, not arrows, not shields, not shells. It is a movement, the circles inside the corpus of a great tree. A slice of granite, a loop of river bone, our family of memory, the lost reflections of our arms and hands and our cheeks and our eyes. The reflection at the edge of the mirror, the sound of a voice as it travels up from the basement into the drawing room, absent of folk, absent of fire. A cold dream, the dark earth, has of clouds and air. The spire, the sword, embrace all ways to enter, touch the life force, touch that which only momentarily scrapes up against, spiral that bleeds a shaft of light as dust in a ray of sun floats in a doorway.
Thank you. So this 2-year term as Fresno's Poet Laureate has officially begun. And for you, what does that mean? What are you hoping you can get done as our literary ambassador?
I think that in the next 2 years, I'd like to work in two avenues. I really do see a need for writers, poets to go into classrooms. And I brought up earlier in the conversation, Laura, that I really developed this love for language in third and fourth grade. And I really want to go into classrooms and be that person, and also for other poets to go into those classrooms and talk about poetry and to get students excited about language. And so that's one of the things.
Yeah, so on a really practical level, getting poets to connect with the next generation.
Yes.
And
yes.
Awesome. We've been speaking to Marisol Baca. She is Fresno's Poet Laureate. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Laura, for having me here.
Before we go, we want to leave you with one more poem from Marisol Baca.
This is the poem that I wrote for Fresno, and it's called The Origin of Certain Place Names. For Fresno, named for the abundant ash trees lining the San Joaquin River. I say Fresno, and the city blows out of my mouth as an exhale. I say Fresno and ask for her help in writing this poem. And she answers me when I give her time to speak. Her voice is chain, link, fence, bouncing, cry of engine and helicopter, wind in a field of wheat, 3 ash trees growing in a half circle on the edge of the bank of the San Joaquin River, like 3 sisters born in the valley. First sister, Foothill Ash. Caroline paints the blackbirds that point to the sky. Caroline paints landscapes stolen from her dreams in the night. She says, the highway that takes me out of the desert has become like a wide-winged bird, and I'm scared of being anything but what I am. And the fields are forever drinking water that sprays from sprinkler pumps. This valley, what does it really look like? The hands of my mother as she combs through my black hair. Second sister, California Ash. Gao turns the light on to finish her reading. Gao's hands draw a song sparrow in between the lines she is reading. She thinks, I've spent my life searching for a way to say your name. The intensity of fog in the winter, the grapevines in the early dark, distances shrouded in shapes so familiar they look like foothills smoking. The long-legged man running past on my side. I look for him as I drive. I will eat the grapes, skins and all. Third sister, 2-petal ash. Ome taps her foot and presses record. Ome's feet are clay-colored sparrows. Their wings beat to the sound in their hearts. She says, I am going to dance. I have fallen in love in an almond orchard, and I am going to dance. Fresno is 3 voices and many. It is the kind of city that walks with you, takes a short ride to the store with you, stays later at your place than expected, dances with its slow poem arms at your house party, eats tacos al pastor in a booth with you, gets lost in a suburban neighborhood near Sunnyside with you. It may call you in the evening to tell you to walk outside and look at the moon, a moon that somehow seems like a Fresno moon, low-hanging, orange in the trees, like a barn owl's heart-shaped face looking down from above.